amen, amen. Hey, y'all, ask you to be seated for a moment. We just want to say welcome to Bethel Assembly. Welcome to our big commitment Sunday, where we are excited. We are stoked to come and do our part to build the kingdom of God and to be a part and to sow into the seeds of the kingdom of God and what God is doing here today. And so we're so thankful that you're here. And we really do. We just thank God that God has saved us, that God has delivered us, that God has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not harm us. And so thank you for coming today, man. I'm just going to, if you've been following us and you've been a part of us, you know that we've had our sanctuary torn down, structural damage, and we're trying to build a new building, and we're full over here. And so it's exciting news. Stephen will talk to you more about it in a minute, but we got the pad done, the form's up, the plumbing's done. We're going to pour slab Tuesday morning, and we're going to get ready to build. So we're going to need your prayers and your support moving forward, because the building's going to go up quick, but we're going to have patience and prayer to get it done and get it finished. And so we're excited to be here. I want to just talk to you about giving, because we don't talk about giving a whole lot, it seems like, anymore. Our world knows a lot about taking, but they don't know a lot about giving. And so, especially giving sacrificially and giving when it kind of hurts just a little bit to give. And so I'm going to read you a story from the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Kings. The story talks about Elijah, who was God's man. He was the man of God. And when Elijah's time, Israel was a dark place. Israel had a wicked king named Ahab. Ahab had taken the people away from God. Ahab was no longer following the word of God and the commandments of God. It was a wicked nation. I love this story for many reasons, but I love this story because I believe there's some correlation from their time and the time that we're living right now. I love America, and I'm unapologetically red, white, and blue American, and I'm proud to be an American today, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But if I take an honest look at America right now, we're much like Ahab. We've strayed from the word of God. We strayed from the commandments of God. We're trying to live our own life. And here's what I'm fearful of the Christians in America in 2024. We've become silent about our faith. Because if we speak out our faith and we speak the truth, they will label us as hate mongers. They will label us as bigots. They will label us. And so we've just become silent and we've become quiet about our faith. We're going to read a story about Elijah, this man of God. He's maybe the only one left serving God. And yet he has the courage and the boldness to stand up to this wicked king and speak the word of God. Can I just encourage you, if there was ever a time when Christians need to stand up and speak the truth in love, it is right now in America. For us and for the next generation. The story of Elijah is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "Now Elisha, the Lord said to him, go to this wicked king." Elijah, go to this wicked king. Don't stray away from him. Go stand up to him and tell him that there's going to be a drought in the land. Tell him there's going to be no dew. There's going to be no rain. Tell him that when you are wicked and when you don't obey God, there will be a curse that comes upon the land. So Elijah, he goes to this wicked king and he tells him there's going to be a drought in the land. And then the Lord says to Elijah in verse number 4, "I want you to depart from here. Turn to the east and hide yourself by this brook in a town called Cherith, which is by Jordan." Says Elijah, "Remove yourself, go live alone, and I want you to live by this brook." And God says to Elijah, "Because you've been obedient to me, I have commanded the ravens, the birds, to come and feed you every morning and every evening." How many know God commands the birds of the air? God commands the fish of the sea. God is God. Elijah goes and he hides out in the country, living by this brook. And verse number 6 of 1 Kings 17 says, "The ravens, every morning and every evening, they brought Elijah sourdough bread and porterhouse steaks." Come on, somebody. The scripture says it, that every morning and every evening, the ravens, the birds, do you get that? Do you understand that the God that we serve will always provide for his people? In spite of the economy, in spite of a wicked nation, in spite of a wicked leader, that if we're obedient to love God and serve God, that God will command the birds of the air to bring us bread and steak twice a day. Come on, somebody. It don't get much better than that. Elijah, alone time, away from the phone, away from Instagram, away from Fox News, drinking from a fresh brook, eating steak and bread every day. God is our provider, supernaturally. But what I want you to see is, sometimes God will supernaturally provide, but I want you to see in the scripture that that season dries up. The scripture says that ultimately in the end, the brook dried up and there was no water. Seasons. God is a God of seasons, and there's a season for everything under the sun. And sometimes in our life, God will supernaturally provide. But as we shift, and we're going to see, Elijah goes into the next season of his life. Rather than sitting there in the mountains and going, but God, wait a minute, I thought I could stay here the rest of my life and you were going to feed me. God says, I want you to do something else. And Elijah goes, okay, what do you want me to do? Watch what happens as they make the shift. No longer is God going to supernaturally provide. You're going to see in the Word of God that God is going to call this unnamed, unknown, ordinary widow woman, and he's going to use a woman, he's going to use a person to provide for the man of God so that the move of God will continue to take place. I am thankful that God chooses common, ordinary, unknown people to flow his glory through to raise up his son's name, Jesus Christ. 1 Kings 17, this season dries up. 1 Kings 17:8. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Get up and go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman in that town. And I've commanded that woman. God spoke to that woman. How many of you know when God is working on one end, he's always working on the other end as well. God speaks to Elijah. He's already spoken to the widow woman. God commanded her to feed him when he got there. He gets up. He's obedient. He goes to that town. And this woman, this widow woman, is gathering up some sticks. And Elijah says to her, bring me a little water to drink. And as she was going to get him some water, he said, I'll tell you what, bring me some bread too. And she turned and she says to the man of God, as the Lord lives, she said, I have nothing baked. And she said, as a matter of fact, I've just got a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil. I've got nothing left. She said, matter of fact, I'm fixing to bake a final loaf of bread and me and my son are, we're just going to die because we have nobody to provide for us. Elijah says, you know what, by faith, girl, you just take that oil and you take that flour and you make me a loaf of bread and you bring it to me. And Elijah says, in your sacrificial giving, God is going to multiply your flour and he's going to multiply your oil, and you will never run out of flour and you will never ever run out of oil again if you'll just be obedient to God. She goes and she bakes a loaf of bread and she brings it to the man of God, and all of a sudden she is never ever with lack and she is never ever out again. At that moment when she gives to him, the drought breaks and the rain comes down. Revival is brought to the nation, all because of one unnamed, one unknown woman that didn't seem like she had anything, was willing to give to the kingdom of God. God uses ordinary people to bring a move of God. Common people. I'll never know this woman's name. You'll never know this woman's name this side of heaven. She was a widow, y'all. She had nothing. Her husband was gone. But God chose to use her. She was obedient. Here's what I want you to see. Elijah was obedient to stand up to the wickedness. Elijah was obedient to go to the country and let the ravens feed him. He was obedient when that season dried up to go to this town. And then one widow woman was obedient to give everything she had to the man of God. Can I tell you? Obedience will always bring the power and the provision of God in our lives. Can I just close with this? We're going to sing another song. God still calls common, ordinary, unknown, unnamed people to be obedient to what he's asking them to do. And when we do it, it unlocks the blessing of heaven. So if you would stand on your feet, we're going to sing another song. We're going to worship God more. I just want you to know God is for you. God loves you. He sees you for whatever season that you're in, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you to glorify his name and to draw people to the bloodstained cross to bring revival. Let's sing like we love the Lord today, y'all. Amen, amen. Hey, y'all be seated for another moment. I read you a scripture a while ago about giving and about how God provides and what God does in the spiritual realm. I read you one from the Old Testament. I want to read you one from the New Testament now. It's actually a story of when Jesus was walking on the earth. The story is found in John chapter 6. Starting in verse number 1, it says this, and Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Can I just take a moment and tell you this? Jesus was always looking to press on towards the other side. Because Jesus knew on the other side it was a new journey. Because Jesus knew on the other side there was a task that God had called him to do. So many times in church in our Christian faith, we come to this side of the sea and we experience God and his miracles and he moves. And you know what we have the tendency to do? To just be comfortable and settle on this side of the sea because we've never been this good before. But where you are is not where God wants to leave you, and where I am is not where God wants to leave me. He wants you and I to have the courage and the faith to launch across the sea and face some storms and face some waves, but that we know by faith when we get to the other side, we're going to see God in a way we've never seen him before. Jesus goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a large crowd of people following him because they had seen all the miracles and the signs that he had done. Jesus went up to the mountaintop and he sat down with his disciples, and they were having this feast of Passover. Lifting up his eyes, Jesus looked to the crowds, and Jesus said to Philip, one of his disciples, Philip, where are we going to buy enough bread to feed all these hungry people? There's 5,000 men, 5,000 women, probably over 10,000 people. Jesus said, how are we going to feed them? Because when folk get hungry, they get a little angry sometimes. Can I hear a good amen? He said, Philip, how are we going to do this? And Philip says, Jesus, I like 200 denarii couldn't buy enough bread to feed all these hungry people. And Andrew, another one of Jesus' disciples, overhears this conversation. And he says in verse number 9, Andrew says this, they're trying to figure out how they're going to get enough bread, trying to figure out how they're going to feed these people. And Andrew says to Jesus, there is a boy. There is a boy in this crowd. There is a little bitty young boy in this crowd. And you know what he says? He said, that little boy's mama packed him a lunch today before he came to follow you. That little boy's mama packed him 5 biscuits and 2 little sardines and put them in his little Yeti cooler and sent it with him today. He said, there is a boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, you know what? I'll always do the miracle with what you have and not with what you don't have. And Jesus said, all I need is one little boy to just be obedient. All I need is one little boy to be willing to sacrifice. All I need is one little bitty boy and what his mama had given him who's willing to give to something greater. Jesus said, have everybody sit down. Have these 10,000 people sit down in the grass. And they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. He blessed them and he broke them. And he starts feeding people. And he starts feeding people. And you know what the Bible says? God begins to multiply the fish and the loaves. And it says that everyone there ate and they were full. They were satisfied. How many of you know God doesn't want us to live in poverty? God wants to satisfy us because he came to give life and give life more abundantly. Everyone was full and there was 12 baskets of bread and fish left over, and the Bible says everybody gave glory to God when they saw this miracle. Here's what I want you to see. God used an unnamed, unknown widow woman in the Old Testament to bring rain, to break the drought, to bring revival, and to refresh the land. And in the New Testament, Jesus chose a little bitty boy. He did not know the scripture. He couldn't quote the word of God. He didn't operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He didn't know the words to the songs. Sometimes he wasn't even paying attention in church, but he was one little boy who had a giving heart, who cheerfully gave back to the kingdom of God, and God used one little bitty boy to bring revival. Bible to all those people. Can I tell you, if God can use a widow woman and God can use a little bitty boy to bring glory to his name, how many of you know God can use me and God can use you? This little bitty boy, it blows me away. I got to tell you this story. I think I told you last Sunday. But 2 weeks ago, this little boy from our church came to get his beef jerky snuff. And he handed me a $20. And I didn't register at the moment. I said, like, what's this $20 for? And this little 10-year-old boy on his birthday said, I want you to take it and put it. I want you to build that building out there for our church. Faith of a child. Can I tell you, last Sunday, that little boy came back to the front to get his chicka stick or whatever it was last week. And he handed me a wad of cash. And I put it in my pocket. I didn't think much about it. That was second service. And between second and third service, I got a text message from that little boy's mother. And that little boy's mother said, I didn't even know what my son was doing. But she said, do you know that wad of cash that he gave you today? That was every bit of the money that he got on his birthday at his birthday party the previous Sunday. And he came and gave it all to build that building. $67 that little boy gave. His parents have done a good job in teaching him how to give. And I'm going to tell you, if God can take that young man, his generosity, his selflessness, and create an environment where the miraculous can move, God can use common and ordinary people like you and I to give. It's no secret God's doing a cool thing in Bethel. Come on, somebody. I am so thankful about what God is doing here. And God has chosen you and I to be a part of what he's doing. Praise God that he's done that. Would you stand on your feet? We're going to sing one more song, and then I'll be back to close this thing out in a minute. But let's just let the Lord speak to us about what God is doing in our lives and what God is asking us to do to build his kingdom. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God's people were common slaves to Pharaoh and to Egypt. God comes and he supernaturally delivers them out of bondage. They go, he parts the Red Sea. They go into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. For 40 years, they didn't have a place to worship God. For 40 years, they didn't have a dedicated place of that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to gather with like believers and we're going to worship God. God says to Moses, build a tabernacle. Build a tabernacle. And can I tell you, we just sang that song, I'll witness to the world that God is good. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was so big that people from miles away could see that tabernacle, and it was a witness that God was good and God was still meeting with his people. I really believe with all of my heart that we're going to get to build a campus here that when people drive by this place, it's going to be a witness that God is still moving in some country folks. God is still moving in Jones County. God is still saving some people. They were going to build the sanctuary, and Moses went to the people. He said, I need you to give so we can construct this thing. The people were so excited. For 40 years, they didn't have a church home. And now they were going to have a place to meet. And they were so excited because of their church. How many of you know we must never forget the importance of our home sweet church home? Our church is not perfect. Our church is flawed. Our church is messed up. And our church is a lot like the people that come to church here. We're not perfect and we're flawed and we're messed up, but we need a place to come meet with each other and God. Moses says, would you give? And the people were so excited to build this tabernacle that they gave so much that Moses had to go back to him and go, hey, would you stop? Because we got enough. We got enough. And the Bible tells us the results of everyone's work and sacrifice and prayer. In Exodus 40, it says, and Moses finished the work and the tabernacle was constructed. Here's what I want you to see, that the cloud signifying the glory of God covered that tabernacle. That when they built it and when they erected it, the glory of God sat on top of that place and the presence of God filled that sanctuary. Can I tell you that I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad that I'm here, but I need more than anybody else the glory and the power and the presence and the love and the grace of God to show up in our church building, y'all. Because when he shows up, people get saved. The cloud covered it by day. When they needed to move, the cloud would move, and they knew to go with the cloud. God was just saying, because of your obedience, I'm going to direct your path. I'm going to direct your marriage. I'm going to direct everything. See, how many of you know you can't see a cloud in the darkest of nights? But God said, okay, during the day I'll be a cloud, but during the night I'm going to switch it on and it's going to be fire. And even in the darkest of times, even in the darkest of countries, the fire is going to go and direct us everywhere that we go. The glory of God filled that place because everybody was willing to work and to give. I'll just tell you, man, it's been been a crazy day. I'll be honest with you, I'll be so glad when this fundraising deal is over with. I was scared of it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't know how to do it. I was afraid people are going to say, oh, Cody's just trying to get money. Cody's trying to do it. Can I tell you, we're building the building, but I get no raise, no new pickup, or none of it goes to me. It all goes to God. I was scared. The enemy had told me you can't do that. But I'm going to tell you what, it's been the coolest journey over the last month of working and striving and stretching and growing and watching you stretch and watching you grow. Because we just had two services over here and I watched single moms and single dads come up and give money that I know that they didn't have. I watched children come up to the front. I watched elderly who were on a fixed income. I watched the body of Christ become the body of Christ. And I watched people say, it don't matter if I give $1 or I give $100,000. I watched people be obedient to the word of God. And when God's people come together and join together and live in unity, there is nothing that my God can't do. And there is no miracle that God can't perform when we come together and trust God that way. It's so exciting. So if you're part of this church, you know today is our big commitment day, and I hope you have a commitment form. We ask you to fill out, we ask you to be praying over the last few weeks what God would just ask you to do. If you don't have a commitment form, you can raise your hand. These guys have got some back there. They'll hand them out to you. Listen to me. Look. If you're a visitor, we don't want your money. That's not what we're, if you're a visitor for the first time, we just want you to know that God's moving in this place and God loves you and God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so you can be forgiven of your sins and have eternal life. But those of us that God has trusted here, we want to be good stewards and we want to give back to the kingdom of God. In a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to fill out a commitment card. We're going to ask you to come to the front and put it in this bucket and just give you a chance to come and serve. I got to tell you some really good news. I'm going to let them get all them handed out, then I'm going to tell you some really cool stuff that'll blow your mind, and I hope it blows your mind like it blows my mind. We've had a series. Everybody got it? Okay, everybody, look. I got to tell you something, because it's going to make you excited. It's going to be something to celebrate. We've had a series of meetings. Hey, there's some guys over here. We've had a series of meetings over the last month where we met with some people and we're trying to raise these funds and trying to get us in. And I'll just tell you that we went into today, starting this morning, we had $620,000 pledged to go towards the $1.2 million. Now, yeah, that's, how cool is that? There's three phases to our building. $1.2 million will get a building up. $2 million will get us about half of what we want. Beyond that, $2.5 million will be this dream and this huge campus. You've seen the pictures outside. It's going to be so good. And so we went into this morning with $620,000 pledged. Our first service pledged $240,000 this morning, moving us up to a little bit above $900,000. And our second service pledged over $730,000, putting us at $1.6 million to go towards. And I'm just telling you, man, it rocks my whole world. We never thought 23 years ago we would even be where we are, but to see that God trusts us. And don't tell me it's, there's some people give $100,000. There's some kids that have given $1. It's everybody together, coming together. God makes the dream come true. So thank you for what you do. We don't want you to give reluctantly. We want you to give cheerfully. Pray the Holy Spirit speaks to you, has spoken to you, and will give you a chance to come. Bring your offering to the front, because it all matters today. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you a chance to come down, and we're going to sing. Father, you are so good. You're so good to us, man. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And Lord, we just thank you. As I look out across this congregation and I see all the different people that are here, and I just say thank you, God, that you saved me. But thank you that you let me and my family be a part of the lives of the men and women in this place. Seen them struggled, seen marriages restored, seen people come and find hope once again. Thank you for that, God. Let us never get tired of seeing you move and seeing your miracles. Let us always stand in awe. Lord, for each one of us, everything we've witnessed in our own individual lives, you've given to us, and now we want to give back. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak. We want to be obedient to your voice as we give sacrificially. We want to sing our praises and give our money to an awesome God. To an awesome God. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can come down. Put your money in the bucket. Let's sing to the Lord as we close.
Amen, amen. You guys have a seat. I'll run through some announcements real quick. Man, what a cool morning this morning. It's been awesome. I'll ask you to continue to pray. Cody mentioned a little bit about the building. Man, the devil never stops working. He's constantly working. He started this thing out by tearing the building down. We had an unbelievable family. I don't know if y'all remember. We had a big, nice golf cart bus donated to us. And one of our guys here said, man, I can't hardly get anybody to get on that little one. And the first time Nathan Dixon drove up in that big one, there was 14 people on it. We showed up the next week, and it was broke down. So we've got it being worked on right now, and there's the devil working again. And this week, one of the biggest days of Bethel since I've been here, we'd have online service, and so people could see that we're giving and maybe find somebody out there that wanted to help us out. And the old devil clipped our Wi-Fi, so we didn't have any words today. We didn't have any way to get this out to our online people and our worship team. Will Robinson and Will Herring and Gail Herring and Joey Castro, those guys were working. And Cody said, don't just worship. Don't worry about it. God will work, and it'll get done. And those guys said, that's not who we are. And they got that thing up, and it's going out here in a little bit so people can see and maybe give some more money towards this church. So put your hands together for those guys in that back. Hey, listen, if you're a visitor here for the first or second time, we just want to say welcome to Bethel. Thank you for being a part of our service this morning. It's really cool to have you here. We're thankful for you. If you didn't get a card when you came in, scan this QR code, fill that information out. We just want to love on you and get to know you and send you a little gift. So church, we'll ask you to always put your hands together for our guest as well. And no church this Wednesday. We're going to hold off until that building's up, so continue to pray for that. Kiddos, come get you some cigarettes. And if we were online, they just disconnected. Before we dismiss and pray, Darren's going to post that final number on social media today. I don't know. Should be pretty quick, actually. He didn't know that you are. It's just going to be a number. We didn't mention that to the first and second service, so if you get it and see it, share it. Put it out there to your friends that come to the early service, but let them know where we're at and what that final number is. So have a great Memorial Day Sunday. Spend some time with your family. If you do get tomorrow off, enjoy that day as well. Cole, will you close us out today, bud?